Arg! Ahoy there, matey! Welcome aboard the world of boating.
Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las puertas.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
I was just looking into buying a boat of my own.
Call World of Boating toll-free now at 1-888-28-BOAT. That's 1-888-828-BOAT.
And welcome. This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, and Captain Patrick round out the crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information. Me, fresh from the Bahamas. I smell like salt, sun, and sea.
And that ain't all you smell like.
And you thought that was just my deodorant, didn't you, Patrick?
Yeah.
No, it's actually real salt, sand, and sea.
Ooh, the toilet.
And maybe a little of that, yeah. Yeah. I was hanging at the Big Game Club. Yeah, first time I've been back in 3 years, and I got to tell you, the place has not changed at all.
Is that good or bad?
No, that's great. I was afraid that the island had overgone, it'd been spoiled somewhat. They have a new resort on the north end of Bimini. It's a Hilton Hotel. And it's one of these big megaplex hotels, which literally you could walk in the place, and if you didn't know you were in the Bahamas, you could have thought you were in Dallas, Texas, someplace in New York, or some other, you know, resort destination. Beautiful hotel, don't get me wrong, but not what I've grown up to know Bimini to be, which is an out island kind of vibe and that kind of thing. So
yeah, let me ask you about that, because you've Greg Holt.
World traveler.
Master diver.
Speaker of Mensa meetings.
Speaker of Mensa meetings.
I got the program, by the way, this week. Somebody sent me the program from the Mensa meeting that I spoke at, just to give you proof that I actually did this. It has a whole write-up on me and everything. Total lies, but still, there is a write-up on me in the program.
Do you not find, when you go to some of these locations, that you would much prefer a more authentic native experience than staying in
native? Let's not get racist, okay, Patrick?
Staying in a big box hotel.
Well, yeah,
is it the idea behind?
My point.
Well, that's what I was expanding on.
Okay,
I wasn't belittling you. I was getting your take because you've traveled the world. So, as a world traveler, especially to a lot of these outer islands and places in the Indian Ocean and places where there wasn't even land, you were just on a boat. How you even got to the boat? I think they choppered you in, because the things weren't even allowed to come into a port. Do you find that your experience is heightened when you have a more authentic
cultural exchange with the local folks
than being behind brick walls in a
I do.
Okay.
Absolutely. And I mean here's the problem with a situation like Bimini. First of all, I give it two big fins up. You go over there, dive whatever you want to do, fish, cruise into the Big Game Club, or if you decide you want to go on a more upscale type of visit, now you have this Hilton Hotel on the north end of Bimini to go to. I'm not knocking it from the standpoint of, you know, this is going to happen whether you like it or not. What I'm saying is that when you go over to a place like Bimini and expect to have a cultural experience or know what the real Bimini is like, and you just go to that one hotel, you have not been to Bimini. And, you know, but here's the problem. You know, all the people that live in the area, the islanders that work at the hotel, and I mean, they can't get enough work half the time. So they need, you know, sometimes they need these big, you know, projects like a new Hilton Hotel and that kind of thing. So, you know, there's pluses and minuses any way you look at it. There was some controversy when the hotel was built and when they put in this big, cruise ship terminal so the ferry could come in and cruise ships could potentially visit Bimini if they so choose. And you know, you're going to have development issues like that with any out island. But, you know, it's there and you can visit it now on two levels. If you want to go for a more out island experience, you can go to the Big Game Club, which when I say out island, that isn't roughing it. I mean, the Big Game Club is a beautiful resort in its own right, and has an excellent marina smack dab in the middle of Bimini. It has tons of history, but it's not like an old, you know, beat up hotel by any stretch of the imagination. It's definitely very nice.
Well, are there places where you can truly rough it? Because like I'm getting ready at the end of the year. I'm going on a 7-day surf trip to Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Okay. So probably going to be in a tent on the beach and sleeping bags. I mean, this is all part of the
by choice.
This is all part of the deal.
So you want to go on vacation and live like a hobo?
My question. I mean, yeah. I mean, are there places there where you know? Look, man, I got a tent. I got a sleeping bag. Yeah, I just need a place on the beach above the tide line.
Yeah, I'm guessing they would frown at that if you showed up in Bimini and said, I want to just camp out on the beach. It might be possible. I mean, I don't know.
That's the way I'd roll.
I mean, they do have hotels. I mean, not a lot.
Pull down a couple of coconuts.
It's not that remote.
Make a telephone.
You got to understand, Bimini is only 42 miles from the Florida coast. It's the closest Bahamian island in the 700 islands the Bahamas have. So it's very easily accessible from Fort Lauderdale, Miami area in a boat, let alone a plane. Now, I took the ferry over, which is a relatively new service out of Miami. And I was pretty impressive what they ran. They had these, I don't know, I think they're like 300-seat passenger ferry boats or something. Fairly big, but they're laid out like a giant airplane. So they have airplane seats in it.
Yeah, I did something similar when I was in Vietnam. I went on a large hydrofoil up.
It wasn't a hydrofoil, though. This was just a cruiser. It did 30 knots, but it wasn't one of those.
But the seating and everything was just like it was like sitting inside the fuselage of a jet for the trip, which I took out to Vung Tau.
Vung Tau, you just made that name up.
No,
don't lie.
Vung Tau.
Yeah, right.
V-U-N. T-A-U. Look it up.
Okay, I don't believe it. Anyway, I'd highly recommend it. And just know that the ferry drops you off at that Hilton. And as I heard, you know, from several passengers on the ferry going over, they were going over just for the day. So that you get over there by 11 a.m. and then it leaves again from the island at 5. And they would just go over there and hang out at the Hilton for 5 hours.
What's the cost?
Well, they run specials like $70.
Per person?
Yeah. I mean, round trip, that ain't bad.
That's not bad.
No, for a day trip. Now, if you stay over, it's a little more, I guess, for some reason, taxes and things. But
what's the best thing to see over there, other than Hilton?
Well, I was going over to check out the hammerhead sharks, which are in season in Bimini for divers right now.
Okay, let's say you don't scuba dive. So let's say you were just going over as a tourist, first time over.
What do? You drink.
Okay, because you can't do that here in the United States.
It's click a clock. Which is the official beer.
So when you're heading over to Fort Lauderdale East.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's kind of, well.
I know it's exactly what it is.
It is that to a certain extent, but not really, because it's its own little vibe, you know? I mean, you know, Bahamas and Bimini, it definitely, there's so much history. The Big Game Club is right across the street from the Complete Angler, which is where Hemingway wrote a bunch of stuff, The Old Man of the Sea, supposedly. And Martin Luther King actually wrote the I Have a Dream speech while he was at the Big Game Club in Bimini.
I heard Frederick Douglass wrote it with him.
I don't know. Who's he? I mean, there's a lot of history, so it's cool to just walk around Allistown, the downtown area, which is the real Bimini.
All right, but what is there to do if you're going over for that short time?
Sun, sand, and surf. Beautiful beaches. You go out and work on your tan. You know, have a cocktail if you want. You can do some fishing.
No, you're missing my point, okay?
No, obviously.
Because all that stuff you could do in Fort Lauderdale West. So
it's better in the Bahamas. How many times do I have to tell you marketing?
Why do I feel like I'm talking in a circle?
The Ministry of Tourism.
I'm trying to get you to what we need is your buddy from the Bahamas Tourism Council to be on air.
Yeah, Mr. Trico.
Richard Trico. Uh-huh. Because what would be the one thing if you were going over that you would want to go see? Is there a historical house, fort? Display.
There's the Dolphin House, which is made up of like crap that floated up on the sand, and he's built this into like a mansion. It's beautiful. That is cool. It's something you would want to see. Very unique. What are you laughing at? That is pretty neat. But you know the thing about
going down to the corner of the studio and watch, look at a guy's house who did that.
No, not this. This is stuff that floated up on the sand on the beach in Bimini, and he basically took it all and built a house out of it. So it's made out of bottle caps and
is there a historic fort on the island?
Conch shells and I don't think there's a fort necessarily.
Is there a historic port, Allistown?
Well, yeah, I guess. I mean, it's a marina. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily call it a port. But, yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I mean, you go over to Bimini for the atmosphere, for the vibe, and that's what makes it unique.
Do you need a passport? Really cool.
Yes, it's another country.
I was just asking. Some people might go all the way down there. I'm just going over for today.
It's another country, so yeah, you need a passport. And it's well worth the effort, trust me. You'll have a lot of fun, despite what Patrick says. He thinks he can have it right here. We'll find out next.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Hey, boaters. You know, there's a lot of things to consider when you're out on the water. But what about when you want to jump in it? Well, like for a snorkel or even a dive. That's just one reason why you, as a boater, should be a member of Divers Alert Network. DAN is your dive safety organization. However, many of the benefits you get from being a DAN member go far beyond in-water activities. Just by being a member of DAN, you get access to 24-hour DAN Travel Assist. This program provides evacuation assistant coverage up to $100,000 when you travel over 50 miles from home for both diving and non-diving injuries. When you consider it's just $35 for individuals and $55 for entire families, it's kind of silly not to be a member of DAN if you like spending time out on the water. There's many more benefits, way too numerous to list here. So go to dan.org and get all the info. Whether you're into diving or not, see for yourself why it makes total sense for every boater to be a member of Divers Alert Network. That's dan.org.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Batten down the hatches. Aye, aye, sir. Mend the bowsprit. Stow the mizzen mast. Jibe the jib boom. Hoist the mainsail and lower the tattersail. Look sharp, man. Pipe the starboard hatch the leeward. Thwart and trim the scuppers of the port poop deck.
I'm sitting on a boat. I'm paying on my pilot. Waiting for you to come. I'm sitting on a boat.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick. We are the crew today as we navigate the latest boating news and information and talk about my latest adventure in Bimini.
Why do you always make a face when you say my name?
Well, it's just habits, you know? What are you going to do?
Did somebody punch you in your face?
Well, you know that face you made when you were a little baby? And
no, I'm talking about underneath your left eye. Did somebody punch you?
Oh, no, I went to the dermatologist this week.
You got more stuff?
Yep. He froze me.
You know, if you had that done into a tattoo of a tear, you'd be very...
That's
very,
an idea.
Very hip.
I might do that. Otherwise, you know, yeah.
By the way, right now, not often that I actually ask you to do stuff, and when I do ask you to do stuff, you actually do it.
Yeah.
But I need you to get that pad next to your console and a pen, and I need you to write down the name of this band, okay? The name of this band is Safe Boating Is No Accident. And I want you to write it down and burn it into your memory, because you are never, ever, 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 ever going to air or put on air or for rejoin any of their music, because the name of their band should have been Crappy Music Is No Accident, because they did this on purpose. This is some of the most horrible stuff
really?
That I've ever heard, and it is arguably one of the stupidest names of a band that I've ever heard.
Wait, Safe Boating Is No Accident
is the name of the band.
Okay. Safe Boating.
I just want to make sure, because I know you like to torment me at times with these obscure musical rejoins that have anything possibly relating to boats or the ocean or a glass of water even. Please just don't
play their music.
Yeah, please
don't. Why? What's wrong with it?
It is god awful. God awful. I mean, just
what is it, like new age stuff?
No,
or
I don't even know how to classify.
Well, I know you're such a big fan of Springsteen. So is it like, Springsteen?
No.
It's way worse. So Safe Boating, No Accident. So that'd be the acronym would be SNUB. No, I guess that's nothing done.
So, Sabina. So,
yeah, maybe. But is it rock? Is it blues? You can't define it, is what you're saying.
Folk.
Okay.
Ish.
You're making that
mishmash.
Face that I made at you when I said your name.
It is just ridiculous.
Okay. Well, obviously it'll air next week on World of Boating. And we'll find out for ourselves.
You
check it out in the meantime.
Hey, coming up, Miami Boat Show, right?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm planning on going.
All right.
Preview day on Thursday.
I hope you go in the middle of the week. I can't go. I can't get away.
Why?
I'm
going because Boat Show Girl said she wanted to go Thursday and Friday.
Bangladesh as another. I need one more country in either the Pacific Rim or Asia, and I win corporate bingo. Hmm. Saturday and Sunday, man. That's the time to go. Anyway, I don't know that I'd be able to break away. Although I still haven't heard if I'm going down or not, because they I'm like, when it comes to doing the boat shows and the yacht deliveries and stuff, I'm like the fire extinguisher that they've got in a glass case with a little silver hammer next to it
in case
of emergency, break glass. And I'm like in that glass case, and it's like in case of boat show emergency.
Mm.
Break glass.
I'm like that guy in the dunk tank that they're throwing stuff at that little target and trying to get me all wet. But anyway, so you may or may not.
May or may not.
But some way we're going to cover it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Here's the thing. For people who are going.
Rusty will be there for sure.
Or not going. There are things that us common folk cannot see. We can't even get near. But I'm going to give you a sneak peek. Because there's an invitation only event for five of the largest yachts that are going to be at the Miami show.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the first one is the Double Down. Are you making notes?
Yeah, of course.
So the Double Down, that's 213 feet.
Okay, that's pretty impressive.
Skyfall is 191.
Skyfall. You're supposed to sing it like Adele. Go ahead.
Now, you were just singing like Safe Boating Is No Accident.
Maybe. That might have been my inspiration.
Skyfall, Starfire.
All right, Skyfall is how long?
Skyfall is 191 feet.
Okay.
Starfire is 177 feet.
Mm.
Passion, a measly 173 feet. The Casino Royale.
Aha.
163 feet.
So two bond
boats.
Yeah, Yachts.
And those are the ones that are going to be invitation only to get on those boats. And we all know, I mean, it used to be, I'd say 10, 15 years ago, you used to be able to get, you know, you could get on some of these real large super yachts, some of the large yachts that are out there. Now it's, you know, they want to know your credit history, your bank statement.
Oh, trust me, they knew your credit history before then.
The zip code in which you live, how many homes you own.
They have gotten more restrictive, though.
Yeah,
for sure.
They have.
I mean, it used to be the media, which I would go under that umbrella. I have no problem walking on any boats I wanted to check out. I went on The World Is Not Enough. I used to be a regular at Fort Lauderdale Boat Show. And I went on that one. And then a couple years later, they quit letting the media go on. I have a feeling I might have had something to do with that. But no, whatever.
Well, we got to employ Rusty's method, which is to put on a fedora that with a little press badge in it and carry a camera.
Well, that is the plan. He is planning to weasel his way on. He's going to adopt a Thurston Howell the Third persona. Bring on some boat fluff like Lovey, and walk around the docks, and they'll see this, and they might say, "Oh yeah, come on over."
Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't know. We'll see. But so, what's your point?
No. I was just bringing to light the fact that
that's been pretty much commonplace for the last few years now. They haven't been letting just average schmoes at the boat show walk
but
on those boats.
This is an invitation only just for these five yachts. Okay?
Yeah.
So it's like super level ultra exclusive. How's that?
Okay. So we got to come up with, we got to Google some rich guy and take on his identity.
Yeah, you go ahead. You Google a rich guy.
Yeah.
I'll work on getting a free pass.
More coming up on the World of Boating.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick. All right, so the Miami International Boat Show, if you want to see tour the mega yachts, you're going to have to get an invite.
You are, so. or what was that thing you did a few years ago? You were out in the
Stowaway.
Islands.
Stowaway?
No, how did you put it? You swung around the mast of this large yacht.
Yes.
So I think
that
is
so much fun.
I think if you do the swashbuckling move, you may be able to swing. If you start at one end of the docks, you could Spider-Man your way out to the large docks.
Security loves it when you do that, by the way.
Yes, they do.
They really do. You will get their attention and,
I would think you could do some like stealth scuba diving and come up the swim platform and immediately just have that Velcro breakaway wetsuit and you've got the tuxedo on underneath.
That's right. It's like,
James Bond, that thing.
He has an invite. Anybody that high tech and cool obviously has enough money to buy one of these puppies. So
the fact that you refer to them as puppies is all that they need to hear.
Oh, that's what all the rich people call them.
Yeah, that's
they do. You got to know the lingo, Patrick. Come on.
Have you seen my new puppy?
Yeah, Richard Branson. They talk about their boats like that.
Hey, listen, if you're down that way.
Yeah. 2 weeks. Miami
2 weeks.
Boat Show, yeah.
Why don't you head down to Key West?
Okay. What, you mean while you're in the area kind of thing?
Yeah, while you're in the area. Because the Key West Art and Historical Society that operates the museum that's down there, the Custom House Museum.
Yeah.
They've got a new display that...
Wait, a new display?
A new
display
that I think people are going to be lining up for. And you should probably actually get in line now.
That sounds like a nude display. Are
well,
you sure?
Almost, because what you'll be able to see when you tour the Custom House Museum, does the name Diana Nyad ring any bells with you?
Yes, the lady who swam from Cuba to Key West.
I'll tell you what you'll be able to see of hers when we come back from these messages.
And if you want the nude display, just walk down to Wall Street. You're bound to see it, you know, around 10 o'clock or so.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
What are you standing around for here? Get on board.
Get on board. Don't fret. Don't try to worry. Just get on board. I'll take you there. Just get on board. Don't worry about your destination.
This is the World of Boating. Get on board.
Just get on board.
Yeah, okay. I just said that. But Patrick and myself, we're the crew today. We navigate the latest.
Get on board.
Okay, we're already on board. We are navigating the latest boating news and information. All right, so if you go down to Key West while you're in town for the Miami International Boat Show, and you go to the Customs House.
The Custom House Museum. Don't go to the Customs House, because if you go to the Customs House, that's a whole...
different kind of
another
cavity
thing.
Search.
Yeah, you might... Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway...
Okay.
Diana Nyad, who completed the 111-mile swim...
on her third attempt or fourth attempt? I don't know. She did a bunch.
Yeah, from Havana to Key West, which, more power to you, but
what?
I just don't get it.
What? Why she did it?
Yeah.
Well, because it was there, and she had tried so many times. After third time, she's like, I got to do this now. Yeah.
It took her 53 hours.
Yeah.
But you will be able to see on display
her swollen lips from all the jellyfish stings.
Her bathing suit.
Hmm.
Her goggles and her custom designed jellyfish protection face mask.
Uh-huh.
So go online, get your tickets now, because this baby is going to sell out.
Hmm. Okay. So Captain Patrick, dripping with sarcasm.
You think?
I'm guessing, is not going to be part of their marketing team for this. Exhibit.
Daddy, what's that?
It's a bathing suit, son.
Can we go to the beach now?
Hey, doesn't that mask look like the Silence of the Lambs? What's the deal?
No, we're going to go look at some history of Clarice. Stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. It's actually, Silence of the Lambs, the last scene of that movie was filmed in Bimini. And I was hanging by the bar there. Just a little trivia, since I was just in Bimini. Anyway, so, okay. So
back to boat show stuff.
So don't bother going to Key West.
No, because now we're going to get the Key West Tourism Council is going to start picketing the studio again. Mm. And we all know how that turned out last time.
Yeah.
I got banned from the show for an hour.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Right.
So please.
Right. It's a fun place to visit.
Yeah,
sure.
Absolutely.
If you're coming in for the Miami Boat Show, that is a nice little side trip.
Absolutely.
I believe... I might be wrong here. It'd be the first time ever, but doesn't the Powerboat Club, Stu Jones group, have some kind of poker run down there to Key West around the boat show or right after the Miami Boat Show?
Pretty much every weekend, I think they're trying to do.
No,
a poker
I think
run.
There is one adjacent to the Miami International Boat Show.
No, there is. I think it's down to Marathon.
Okay, maybe it is.
I want to say
Florida Powerboat Club. Just Google it and find out. There you go.
And I know we've talked about this extensively over the last several months, but yet another article about the boating industry going after millennials with high-tech, tricked-out crafts. And I'm just going to say the manufacturing industry is chasing they're chasing their own tail.
Mm.
Millennials don't have money. Millennials that are now coming in, I think the far end age range of millennials is like 32 or 33, somewhere in there. They're now starting families, which means they're definitely not going to have money. And the baby boomer, the Gen Xers, of which I am a part of, you know, as we age, I see it in the industry. I've seen it in the marinas, at the boat shows that I go to. The technology advancements are amazing. But I run into more and more boaters that really would prefer to dial it back, you know, to more of a stripped down, back to basics, cost affordable.
So you're saying the old boaters would like that? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I'm not saying old boaters. I'm saying there's
more mature.
They're more mature. Thank you. There's a segment that would like. The only offerings that are out there are everything is it's digital displays and everything is, mm-hmm. you know, it's EVC systems and digital throttle and shift. And, you know, if something goes wrong, I mean, you're literally.
Hey,
and figuratively, dead in the water.
If it doesn't have Bluetooth and an app I can download to run the damn thing, why bother?
You know, so I think it's definitely something that I think that boat manufacturers, the luxury end, the sport boats and sport yachts, I think they're building boats for a segment of the population that it isn't there. You know, but technology dictates you have to build it because that's all there is available.
Well, it depends on how much it affects the cost of the boat. If they can throw all those bells and whistles and it doesn't.
But they don't want the bells and whistles. Most people just want to get out on the water and be able to do so without it draining their bank account.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If they can throw in the bells and whistles as a value added and it's not really, you know, increasing the cost to the bottom line. I mean, I don't know. You've been on this soapbox many times.
I know, and I want to get back off of it. It was just something that had come across the newswire.
I mean, if that is a category that is open at the moment, someone's going to come in and fill it, and we'll see when they do if it indeed strikes a nerve with the buying public.
Well, it has though, and that's the thing. They're just not. And when I talk about this segment of boat manufacturers, I'm really referencing fiberglass boat manufacturers.
Right, you're talking about like the 12 to 20 footers.
No, I'm talking your 17 to let's call it 30, 32 footers.
That big, huh?
That big.
Okay.
Because when you look at them now, 32 doesn't seem all that big. You know, 30 years ago at 32, oh wow, man, you got a 32 footer. Oh my god, that's crazy. You know, now it's a dinghy. You know, so I think. What we are seeing though in the recovery in boat manufacturing has largely been driven by pontoon boats and aluminum hulled boats, and because those are cost affordable. However, they don't have the look. They don't have necessarily have the sleekness. They don't have the allure or the sexiness of a fiberglass powerboat. But those boats are out there that don't drain your pocketbook. What I'm saying is that segment of manufacturing, they're getting ready to kind of get left behind, you know, and they're also seeing it with most people now are, for whatever crazy reason, the bigger the boat, they want outboards hanging off the back of these things. You know, I don't know when IOs, inboard outboards, really got demonized, if you will. But there was a huge, almost a silent but yet cataclysmic shift with the boat buying public, probably going back about 8 years. You know, and
well, it probably just goes back to you know, that desire to show off your equipment.
Well, it's desire to show off the equipment, but again, you gain cockpit space. You have the maintenance. you don't have to worry about, you know, if your boat is, of course, staying in the water, the maintenance aspect of having an engine, a transom plate, and an outdrive to maintain. You've got it all in one package, a package that you can trim all the way up out of the water and not have to worry about barnacle growth and corrosion and things of that nature. I mean, you still have to maintain it, but it's not that constant or semi-constant immersion, especially when you're in salt water. And to be fair, fresh water can be, depending on the body of water, can be as corrosive to that product as salt water, depending on where you're at.
Yeah. But when others can see your equipment and you can present that, you know, present it to them in a way that is more impressive.
Why do I feel
out there?
When did I lose control of this conversation, Greg?
You never had control. Come on, let's be real. I would never allow such a thing.
So anyway, it's a problem. It's a challenge. It'll be interesting to see what happens in the next 5 to 10 years.
All right. And it's impressive. That's what she said.
The package is impressive.
Yeah, something like that. More coming up.
You're listening to the World of Boating Radio Network.
Even Keatley wasn't ready for me or anything that followed. Chased by a police department led by his ex-girlfriend and hunted by brain fork-wielding Fijian assassins, it's everything he can do to keep from getting locked up, killed, or worse. Kava Screw is available as an ebook for $2.99 at Amazon.com. Kava Screw. Put a brain fork in him. He's done.
Do you have a compelling story of what inspired you to become a paddy diver or paddy professional? Has your paddy certification changed your life, relationship, or career in some unique way? The Professional Association of Diving Instructors wants to share your story to inspire others to start, keep, or teach diving. For more information, please visit paddy.com/my story. That's paddy.com/my story. And thanks for choosing Paddy, the way the world learns to dive.
Scuba diving is an activity for all ages. However, immersion alone can be a stressor on the heart and circulatory system. I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll tell you how to stay heart healthy as you dive next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
Nearly one-third of diving fatalities are associated with an acute cardiac event. Maintain your healthy heart with proper diet and exercise, monitoring your blood pressure, glucose, and cholesterol levels, and adhering to any treatment measures prescribed by your physician is crucial. Even if you've had an event, like myself, after some time and clearance from a physician, you can still safely dive. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
You have successfully navigated the Sea of Commerce and now are clear to cruise with the World of Boating.
I do like the water.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
The sun, the sea air, good friends.
Brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Man, I gotta give me one of these bad boys.
The upkeep alone would cost you millions. You gotta crew it, maintain it, gas it. This thing drinks 5 gallons a mile.
Joe knows boats.
That I do.
I wish that we could sail our sad days away forever in deep blue seas of paper mache.
Let's dance in the moonlight.
We join the yacht club.
This is the World of Boating. Greg, your first mate, Captain Patrick, navigating the latest boating news and information. All right, so we have just a few minutes left.
Yep, going to get into
a virtual cruise. What is it?
A hot button subject.
Yeah. What now?
Getting off one soapbox, going to get on the other.
All right.
In the state of Florida, once again, the state of Florida, in what could best be described as a money grab, is looking at requiring registration of kayaks, canoes, and paddle boats.
Why?
Money.
So this money would go to what?
Enforcement of...
What, fund Florida Fish and Wildlife or something
sure.
like that?
Sure, let's say that.
Marine enforcement?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're looking at licensing canoes, kayaks, and other motorless craft. Of course, those things have surfaced in past years. It's up again for debate. Personally, myself, I think they should be registered. I think that people in those crafts should undergo the same licensing.
A canoe?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're sharing the waterways with powerboats.
Okay.
And the rules on the water apply for everyone. And I cannot tell you how many times that I've been impeded out on the water by, and not all of them are this, but by some clueless kayakers, canoers, paddleboarders, just as with some clueless jet skiers who pay no attention, don't take the initiative to even learn the basics about navigation, about which side they should pass on, which side of the channel they should be on. They're like bicyclists out on the road. Okay, on my way to the studio, there's this beautiful bike trail. And as I'm going, and I've got a green light, I've got this because bicyclists, those guys who dress up like they're going to do the Tour de France, just right out in front of traffic, like, hey, I'm on a bicycle, you all have to stop, when it's a signaled crossing just for that. And canoes and kayaks, not all of them, I understand, but they need to adhere to the same rules and regulations that the rest of us have to. Not that every power boater does, because if you spend any time down in the waters around Miami, you know that it's a crapshoot at best. But yes, I think that their craft should be registered. I think that they should have to have the basic boating license that everybody else does. And if they're going to be out from dusk till dawn, their craft needs to be set up with proper navigation lights, just like bicyclists are required to have flashing lights or a headlamp, a front light and a tail light, so that you can see them in the dark.
Is that a requirement?
On bikes?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Oh, if they're riding on the street.
If they're riding dusk till dawn, if the police can and will pull you over and issue you a ticket.
Right, but if you're not on the street, like if you're riding on a bike path, do you have to have one?
Yes.
Oh, see, I didn't know. But they're not registered. You don't have to get your bike registered.
No, you don't. But bicyclists have to adhere to the same rules and regulations that the rest of us that are on the road do.
So
they are supposed to stop at stoplights and stop signs. And we know that there are bicyclists out there that don't, and they'll ride in between cars to get up to the stoplight first. They won't stop in line with traffic because mm-hmm. they're on a bike and they don't feel like they need to.
Well,
I have been witness to and been impeded by. Look, you want to be in a canoe and kayak or a paddleboard to go out and enjoy nature. I just want to get from point A to point B. That's why I'm in a powerboat. So you need to realize that you have to share the waterway with craft that can swamp your boat, can overturn your boat.
Yeah.
And you need to operate paddle, canoe, kayak, whatever, your craft in accordance with the same rules and regulations that the rest of us are supposed to adhere to.
It's going to get swamped and flipped over. So yeah, but there's not really a downside for you.
No, there is. Because
you might have to avoid them.
Exactly. So they're out in the middle of the channel crossing willy-nilly, And instead of me being able to get from point A to point B, I might as well just be in a canoe and kayak, because the most I can go is idle speed, because I'm responsible for my own wake. And if I knowingly create a condition that flips them and somebody gets injured, or they lose their precious iPhone, then, and they get the name of my boat, I could be held liable.
I don't know. That
no, I do know.
Like hogwash.
It is not hogwash.
Education over legislation. That's the way I feel about it. You can just tell these people what to do, and like, hey, you want to make yourself smarter? You want to save yourself, or you want to die when that powerboat comes by? You better pay attention, buddy boy.
Regulate, license, enforce.
Oh my gosh, we're in friggin' Russia.
Yes. Haven't you read the papers lately?
Oh, no, be quiet. All right, that'll be it. That'll be enough of this nonsense for 1 week. Till next time, remember, whether it's sail or motor,
life is better as a boater.
Safe boating, everyone.
Barnacle-bitten swab!
World of Boating is brought to you by worldofboating.com, your internet portal for the boating enthusiast.
Any of this getting through to you, son?
World of Boating is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Computer standing by.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at worldofboating.com.
Computers can do that?
So tell a friend and come aboard every week for the World of Boating.
This is so great. I can't wait. I'm getting goosebumps. Feel me.
The radio show devoted exclusively to the boating lifestyle.
TTFN, ta-ta for now.
The opinions you just heard on the World of Boating are those of the hosts, callers, and guests. They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
What are you being such a weenie for?
While on the water, your safety and the safety of many others depends on you. So boat smart and operate your vessel only after receiving the proper training and instruction for your area.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at worldofboating.com.